Jake Smith, welcome to KD&K. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you for talking to me.
Well, you're on a tour behind a brand new record. How does the record feel? I guess it's been out for about a month now, hasn't it?
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of the idea. It's been out for about a month to kind of let it marinate with people so they know some of the songs when they come out. And, yeah, it's going really great. The new songs are coming off really well, but we're playing a bunch of the classics as well. So.
Okay, I was going to ask that. So do you road test songs before you record them?
No, not especially not in this case. We had in the past that I had kind of a wealth of songs before, and this time I was kind of writing on the fly as we were recording, so we didn't get to road test any of them.
Oh, how about that? So do they sound different on stage?
Yeah, they're different. I mean, it's a little stripped down. We're playing as an acoustic trio. So there's not all the bells and whistles, but all the passion and energy and emotion is there. So I think they're coming across great.
Uh-huh. I watched plenty of videos. In fact, I was really happy that I stumbled across the Ernie Ball Presents series of 10 videos, The Making of Love and The Death of Damnation, one of your previous albums. It really gave me an insight into what you do. So let's talk about some of that in relation to the new one. The new CD, it's called Darkest Darks and Lightest Lights. And I would say that's an apt metaphor for these days.
Yeah. You know, I was just conceptually looking at the title as there's some quite dark songs and there's some light songs. So there's some of the happier songs I've ever written. And it's some really dark songs as well. But yeah, as far as the times, it's... there's some nice cohesion there.
Yeah, you know, I've seemed to notice that there's a lot of dark things going on, and then just kind of in my own life, lots of really beautiful things too, and I'm assuming that it's like that for most people. It's a little bit of both.
Yeah. You know, I think people can isolate themselves in their, you know, in their home life and their situations that they can forget about all the craziness sometimes.
Uh-huh. So is songwriting the way that you kind of let go of that craziness? Is this your refuge?
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely an outlet for me. You know, a lot of my songs are based in complete fantasy, but then some of them are very autobiographical as well.
Uh-huh.
I even find the ones I think are complete fantasy sometimes are closer to the truth than I initially thought.
So the songs that are written in the first person, can I consider those autobiographical?
No. Not at all.
Okay.
No. A lot of them. A lot of the evil, I mean, a lot of the murder songs are the songs about, you know, robbing a convenience store. Those are all first person, but they're not, those are all kind of just fun songs.
Okay. Okay. How do you determine whether a song needs to be in the first person or the third person? You're obviously a storyteller.
Yeah, a lot of mine are narrative-based, and so often I play the character regardless, so they're often in first person. But then I kind of bounce back and forth sometimes.
Now, do you know as you're writing that the song is going to evolve into a third-person song, or do you know from the beginning?
No, I don't normally know. I kind of just let it play out, and then as it does and how the story lends itself to whatever I'm trying to do, it kind of shows itself.
I see. Huh. Well, one of the things I picked up from watching that Ernie Ball Presents series of videos is that you're writing all the time. It seems like it's a torrent coming out of you, and the songs are little diamonds along the way that you pick up out of that torrent.
Yeah, I mean, things come in all the time, and you just have to, I think, the gift is realizing what's cool in a situation or in a song or a lyric, and then expanding on that and crafting a song around what kind of the emotional core of that idea is.
Your work is very emotional.
Yeah, I mean, I try to hit all the spots. I mean, everything that is life, and you know, I try to hit sorrow, heartbreak, love, happiness, fear, you know, really try to take people on a little roller coaster of emotion. And really there's no boundaries as far as what I can write about, you know?
That's interesting. Tell me about the name White Buffalo. You know, it conjures up a different image of you than what I discovered you are. I thought, I didn't know what I thought the White Buffalo was. Maybe another Michael Franti or Nocco and the Medicine People, or I don't know, something. But what you are is a blue-collar songwriter that's telling really personal and sometimes very heavy-duty songs. So where did White Buffalo come from?
It was basically, I just took on a stage name. I wanted it, the project, to be able to be bigger than just one person, kind of. And it also have it morph into whatever it wanted to be. If it's me solo acoustic, that's great. If it's the trio, if it's a whole ensemble. You know, I think in these days of social media and all this stuff, there's a lot of, you know, mystery lost. And I like to kind of keep that going.
Huh. Wow, that's great. How do you keep the mystery going, Jake Smith?
I don't know. I don't take pictures of my breakfast. And I don't, you know, I just try to keep fairly private, you know, and kind of let the songs and performance and stuff do the work. And you know, I think that's rare in these days, I suppose.
Well, yeah, in the business that you're in, it is. So kudos to you, because you're keeping it real. And it doesn't seem like that's a burden for you. It seems like it's your release, actually.
Yeah, I mean, even the song is complete fantasy, I want to keep it as honest and kind of real as I could possibly do it. I mean, I go about the storytelling is taking these very small kind of human stories and having them have larger themes and larger ideas around them. Mm-hmm. You know, and hopefully just really, I want to try to make people feel something.
Well, I noticed in the credits on this new one, Darkest Darks, Lightest Lights, that you're working with the same production team, Bruce Wicken and Ryan Dorn, both of those gentlemen heavily featured in that Ernie Ball Presents series of videos. I wonder if you could talk a little bit about who they are and what they mean to you as an artist.
Yeah, I've done the last four albums with them. Bruce Wicken is more of the idea man, arranger, musician. Plays a lot of the other instruments on the albums. And Ryan Dorn is more of the take guy, produces the individual takes, making sure that he's drawing as much out of you as he possibly can. It's a nice dynamic that they have working together. They both kind of serve their certain roles and purposes. And yeah, very appreciative of them.
On the album, Bruce is playing bass, but he's not in your traveling band. Tell me about the band that you take with you on the road.
So we have Matt Lenock, also known as The Machine, is a drummer. Been with me for 14, 15 years, plays on all the albums. And then we have Christopher Hoffey playing bass and singing background vocal. Is another guy out of San Diego. And it's a good, we lock it in, we play with passion, and, you know, it's pretty aggressive for an acoustic trio.
To what do you attribute that aggressiveness?
We just get after it. I mean, I think we, you know, I want to perform in a way that people feel it, and you're giving it all, and you're sweating, and you're feeling the songs and having fun, you know, and I think people can feel that that energy.
Well, it's a big sound that you have with that acoustic guitar and the band around you. Do you ever pick up the electric guitar? Is that part of what you do?
It's not. No, I'm solely an acoustic player. Hmm. Maybe someday.
Oh, really? Okay. That's interesting. But you make a lot of sound, that's for sure. One of the key phases of your career was hooking up with the Sons of Anarchy, the television show. You've had several songs featured on that. How did that happen for you, the Sons of Anarchy?
At the time, which was like season three, I didn't have management. I didn't have a label. I didn't have anything. And I had a lawyer. My lawyer kind of cold called the music supervisor. He was an acquaintance of his at some point, and just asked him to lunch and said, listen, this is this guy's music is very kind of conflicted, but very human and dark, and could be a perfect marriage kind of for the show. And, you know, I ended up having, you know, 10 songs on that show.
Oh, you've had 10 songs. Wow. That's impressive. Huh. What a great connection that is. I see you're touring Europe next year.
Yeah, in April. We just added a few Scandinavian shows as well. But yeah, actually Europe is we're starting to really pick up over there.
Have you toured there yet before?
Yeah, we have.
Uh-huh.
We're actually playing seemingly bigger rooms there already than we are here in the States.
Well, you know, I think Europe is hungering greatly for American music, and it's been that way for, God, you could make an argument for a couple generations.
Yeah, agreed. Yeah, I think they're very, you know, good listening crowds and you know, excitable people.
Well, I know you've played Belly Up before, and you're coming back again, playing Friday night, and I know that you've got a pretty steady fan base in this valley. How have you been received in this valley before?
You know, I don't even know if I've ever brought the. I think one time I played with a full band there. It's been a while since I've been back.
Uh-huh.
So hopefully people are longing for it, you know. But yeah, it's been good.
And I guess there's a couple of other dates that you're doing in Colorado before you head down to Santa Fe. And so is Colorado fertile ground for the White Buffalo?
Yeah, it's definitely a good market. And there's quite a few, you know, with the mountain towns as well as, you know, Denver and Fort Collins and all these places.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's great. We seem to be very receptive to this style of music.
So now are you playing festivals too in the summers?
Yeah, we're just kind of getting some festivals. We're going to do some in Europe, and that's like we're doing one in Arizona in April, and hopefully they'll start, more will start coming in.
Well, congratulations on Darkest Darks, Lightest Lights. There's some very arresting music on there, and I also gave a quick listen to a couple of the previous CDs you've done, and it's obvious that you're growing every CD, and you can't ask more from a committed artist. So congratulations, White Buffalo.
I appreciate that. Thank you.
And thank you for spending a little time with us here on KDNK. I appreciate it, Jake.